Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. Today marks our last Sunday through summer, which I know is a little bit depressing, but it concludes for us today our series called Wise Up, which took us through Proverbs so that we can understand what does it mean to live a wise life. I want to start by doing this. I want to ask you a question this morning. The question is this: if nothing were to change in your life over the next 5 years, would you be okay with that? By that I mean, so things like if your health, if your relationships, if your friends, if your career, if you as a person in terms of your achievements, who you are, the things that define you, and so forth, if those were the same come August 29th, 2026, crazy to say that, would that be okay with you? For the majority of us, I'm guessing that the answer to that question would probably be no. And so if you didn't want this to be true, if we wanted to see changes or differences within who we are in our own lives, I think we would understand and agree that we would need to make changes to what it is that we are doing. We could understand that if transformation was to happen in our life, there would need to be noticeable change. As the saying goes, it would be insanity to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results. And so our proverb for today comes from chapter 14, verse 8, and that's the one verse we're going to take. And this morning, that proverb speaks to that truth and gives us wisdom on how we can see transformation within our life. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8, read with me, says this: "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception." Once again, as we've seen through most of the Proverbs that we've gone through, the wise and the foolish are compared. And on some level, this passage can be applied simply to this understanding that the wise give thought to all the steps in their life. However, it also needs to be applied in the sense that not just giving thought to what we do or the steps that we take, but also in the sense of our attitudes, our character, our thoughts. Before you can act with purpose and direction, you must understand what you need to change and how to go about it. Therefore, according to our proverb, the way of the wise is to be self-aware. For all my Mandalorian fans out there, this is the way. Yeah, there's some people out there, awesome. Dr. Rob Reimer in his book, Soul Care, puts it this way: you'll never rise above the level of your self-awareness. Or we could say this: the wise understand that being self-aware opens the possibility for transformation. Transformation begins with self-awareness. It's the ultimate lid on your life, your self-awareness, to your intimacy with God, to your growth, your leadership, your relational maturity. Self-awareness, again, according to Dr. Rob Reimer, is this: the gateway to transformation. It doesn't guarantee it, but you can't get there without it. And so if we connect this with our proverb today, we can understand this to mean: the way of the wise is to be self-aware, but the way of the fool is rooted in deceit. So let's begin by looking at how the foolish live then. Our proverb says the folly of the fool is deception. Or simply put, foolishness of fools is deception. Their way is rooted in deception. And now often we hear that word deception and we go right away to thinking through how other people deceive us. We all have received phone calls from the CRA telling us there's a warrant out for our arrest. Maybe you're like me and you've got an email from your boss, but the email that was Lord Jesus 888 and was asking for money and to not call or text and just send money. False statements by people in authority, and you can put that wherever you want it to be. Insincere flattery, things in the media and the way that we're marketed to. However, our text is speaking about a deceiver who often goes undetected. And we often give our full approval and our full access to this deceiver without even realizing it. And this deceiver is our own heart. And given the context of the verse, many commentaries believe that this word deception is actually referring to self-deception. We ourselves are most often our greatest deceivers. When our lives are filled with self-deception, it caps or it prevents any spiritual formation. Spiritual formation is hindered by self-deception, and we will not see change until we choose to acknowledge our need for that change. I want you to watch this video quickly to kind of paint the picture of this point.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out.
All right, that's good. We can... All right, now, obviously, we could dive into communication there, but we're not going to go there. We're going to focus on that self-denial piece. See, self-denial, as very clearly painted, is seen as our lack of willingness to face reality and in our ignoring of what we want to be true or what we know to be true. When it comes to transformation, it's important to know that Jesus cannot heal or give release to the things that we refuse to admit and bring into the light. According to the Biblical Counseling Coalition, there are three biblical categories which motivate people most often towards self-deception. And I want us to look at those this morning. Those three things are pride, fear, and idolatry. The first one is this, pride. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 3 says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." Now, pride makes it difficult to see sin which exists within your own heart while magnifying the imperfections of other people. And we often do this because, let's be honest, it's far easier to point out flaws in other people and far easier to just ignore what's actually happening in our own self, ignoring the truth. Pride is seen most often in many ways when we present this front of obedience to God, but on the inside are living a life independent from Him. And this is where pride thrives, in that those hidden places, in the shadows of religious busyness, behind the mask of religious performance. And what I mean by that is religion can often actually be an invisible prison for us. It makes us think that we are okay with God when we might actually be further away from him than in our mind the greatest of sinners. Religion blinds us to the truth often of who we truly are. Pride deceives us and we think we are better off. Tim Keller highlights this when he points out that you can rebel against God and be alienated from him either by breaking his commands or keeping all of them diligently. Think about it this way for yourself. Do you obey God out of a love and a desire to get to know him? Or is it more because of what it gets you? Do you serve the poor or tithe or come to church because of God's love for you? Or so you can feel good about yourself? Are you surrendering your life to God? Or are you trying to control him with your goodness? God pressed this own truth upon me over my sabbatical, which happened over the spring here. And I wrestled with one of these questions from God that came from some reading that I did. And this was the question presented by an author. His name is Curtis Zachary. He says, if I take away your platform, who you are known to be, and what you are known for, would you love and worship me in the same way and with the same passion? At the deepest place of my own heart was a connection to the things that I got to do for God. And often this would define my identity in Christ. And this was a broken connection that needed repair. This was self-deceit showing up through pride. I needed to understand what it meant to be in love with Jesus without the opportunity to do things for Jesus. Me on my own before him, without the sermon prep, without the youth work, being with people. And this was hard, and I had to wrestle with that in my own life. Maybe you too are working to please God. Maybe you're keeping this score and trying to earn God's approval through your moral superiority and feeling that you're better than those sinners. But you've been coming to this conclusion that trying to be good enough is this unbearable burden. And that this life is stale and cold and sterile, and there's got to be more to life than this. Well, you need to know that there is. Pride has deceived you. You have a heavenly Father who loves you, and it has nothing to do with how good you've been. You have a heavenly Father who says, stop trying to earn my approval. You can't earn it. Just accept my unconditional love. What God wants is not your good works. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be with you. I love what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Second thing that often motivates self-deception, fear. The choice before us and how we live always comes down to responding in fear or faith. Fools respond in fear when it comes to self-awareness by hiding who they really are instead of responding in faith and trusting in God to bring transformation. Fear is often the biggest motivating factor of how we act in life. And this is because fear often threatens the foundation of our value. In our fear, we often seek to prove our worth, to control outcomes, and to manipulate or control others. The world loves to speak into our identity. They love to tell us who we are or who we should be. People around us most often have the greatest influence on how we define ourselves. And we often listen to those messages out of fear. So, because if we don't, we fear that we might not meet a certain standard, or that we won't be accepted or loved. And so we often change who we are out of the fear of, will people accept me? Self-deception uses fear in our life to determine who we will be. It wants us to doubt our worth, our value, and our place in this world. And it creates feelings that says, you are not enough. If people around you really knew you, they wouldn't like you. You're inadequate. You don't stack up. And so we end up living lives out of fear to please and to earn approval from others. Again, in my own life, I learned that I needed to change this self-talk that often spoke a message that said my value was dependent on my effectiveness of what I could do and the affirmation that I could gain from others. I needed to build a foundation out of faith in the way that God views me. My identity isn't based on my accomplishments or the position that I achieve. It's not based on the friends that I can gather in person or online or the people that I surround myself with. In fact, my identity actually has very little to do with me. It has everything to do with God. Christ defines me. I don't need to create my identity. I simply need to discover it. Are you acting in fear? If so, you're deceiving yourself. And a good way to know the answer to that question, and God is continually asking of us this, will you trust me? Instead of trying to define yourself by the labels that you've been given, choose to define yourself based on who you belong to. The third thing that leads often to self-deception is this, idolatry. Self-deception is seen in this way when we trust in created things to give us hope and meaning and significance rather than God our Father. Tim Keller again says this about idolatry, it is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give. In other words, we deceive ourselves when we experience an unmet God-given desire and seek to fill it with something other than God himself. It could be a desire for acceptance, for love, for happiness, for respect, for purpose and meaning. It could be a desire just to have worth. And often in our desire for these things, our heart locks onto something, someone, or some object, and we really believe that it will in some way ultimately fulfill that sense that we have within us. And in doing so, it becomes an idol. So let me ask you, are you trusting in God's faithfulness to meet your needs? Or are you trusting in something or someone else? So if we want to experience transformation in our life, we must follow the way of the wise. We have to move from self-deception to self-awareness. Again, it says the wise and the way of the wise is rooted in a healthy self-awareness. Stephen Covey has a really good definition of self-awareness in my mind when he says this, it's our capacity to stand apart from ourselves and examine our thinking, our motives, our history, our scripts, our actions, and our habits and tendencies. Self-awareness includes being able to recognize your inner thoughts and feelings and how they affect actions, strengths and weaknesses, attitudes, values, behaviors, positive and negative impacts you have on those around you, what feeds you, what drains you, deceitful, sinful passions and desires. In a nutshell, self-awareness allows us to better understand who we really are. If we want to experience transformation in our life, we need to have this skill and ability to examine who we are, to clearly know and identify where we are currently are, and identify where we are yet to go. And this is important because, again, as Dr. Rye Reamer says, what you believe about yourself is the foundation of your life. It is your identity. And a faulty foundation will create cracks in the soul. If you are going to construct a healthy life, it begins with what you believe about yourself. Being self-aware is a lifelong process and a key component of discipleship. We're all called to be disciples, which means growing into the likeness of Christ. And to this end, we need to not only know who we are, but also who Jesus is. And a greater knowledge of God can and will come through self-awareness. This is the way of the wise, to be self-aware. And so how do we get there? I'm going to give you three steps on the self-awareness side that we can take. The first thing is this: reflection. Be in God's word. James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25 speak to this. Anyone who listens to the word but does not obey it, but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. God's word here is compared to a mirror in the sense that when we read God's word, we begin to see ourselves in the word. And as we read and we study God's word, it begins to reveal to us this picture of who we are called to be. And in this sense, then, the Holy Spirit acts like a mirror in our own life that should cause us to act, to ask this question: am I like that? I firmly believe most life change will be begin in our times alone with God. And this is because this is when we pause long enough and sit quiet enough to quiet things around us to actually hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit within us. And this leads to refreshment, to encouragement, to strength for living through self-awareness. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires." God's word is a reflection tool in our own life of who we are called to be. The second thing is repentance. And that verse leads into it. It says, when God brings those innermost thoughts and desires into the light, we need to be honest. We need to confess the things that aren't right. Romans 12, verse 3 speaks to the idea that we often evaluate ourselves greater than we are. We like to mark ourselves a lot higher, and we think of ourselves higher than we are. To experience transformation, though, we must take ownership of our own sins and bring them into the light. Remember, you cannot experience transformation, you cannot experience freedom or release in your life from things that you refuse to bring into the light. Through confession and forgiveness, we live in the truth of being God's new creation. Our lives are spoken of how the old has gone and the new has come. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to everlasting." This is a prayer and a call for God to know our innermost thoughts and desires. Repentance. The last thing is this: remember the Redeemer. Ultimately, self-awareness comes from looking to Jesus and not ourselves. The power of the cross gives us confidence that we need to grow in self-awareness. And this is good news because it means that I am not saved because of my performance, allowing me not to fear failure in my growth. Dr. Rob Reamer says, God doesn't want you to carry around what he has already paid for on the cross. What are you still holding on to in your life that God has said, let it go? I have already paid for that at the cross. Shame, anger, bitterness, guilt, feelings of worthlessness. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, I've already settled that at the cross. Because of the cross, we can bring our shortcomings to the feet of Jesus so we can receive his grace and be formed by the Father. Jesus redeems us. And we can be confident that our value is settled at the cross. Our self is beloved, bought by the love of Jesus, secure and forever as a child of God. I'm not perfect, but God is. And I am his, and I am in him. If we want to experience God's transformational power in our life, we must move from self-deception to self-awareness. The end goal, however, is not self-awareness. Tim Keller says this, self-awareness is never the destination. It's only a step on the way to transformation. This is important. Healthy self-awareness should put us on a path to becoming more like Jesus. It is a means by which we become aware of our desperate need for Jesus. John Bloom is quoted as saying, one of the most merciful gifts God can give us is a deep and keen awareness of our dependence on him for everything. For us to be transformed, to thrive, to have a full life that Jesus talked about, it requires full dependence on his grace, and it is received through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in John 15, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Self-awareness brings truth to life. It magnifies our need for Christ. The wise know their need to abide in Jesus, whereas the foolish are unaware of this. Therefore, I'll close with this very simple prayer that I call us to pray together. It will be on the screen. I'll read it once, and then we can read it together. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness for my dependence on you in everything so that I will continually abide in you by faith. Let's just pray that together. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness of my dependence on you in everything so that I will continually abide in you by faith. Amen. Let's continue to worship together.